be great to have a Skagway or Haines team involved, and I do have a canoe for a canoe team.
Registration for Yukon River Quest is extended, and organizers want to see some paddlers from Skagway and Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That story and more up next. If your library finds or embarrassingly overdue books are keeping you away from your library, this is your lucky week. During National Library Week, the Haines Library is forgiving fines on overdue materials because they want you back.
I know that the tradition in Haines has been to have that week as the week that people can have a fine forgiveness week.
Patty Brown is the director at the Hainesboro Public Library.
So if anyone has books out that they haven't returned for a long time, or if they have fines that make them feel like they can't come back in and use the library, this is the week to come in and clear everything off of your card and you can start fresh.
Brown remembers the story of a man who returned a book to the New York Public Library after 48 years. She says this week is helpful to readers as well as the library.
They totaled up his fine. It would have been like $37,000 or something, but he finally brought the book back. So a lot of times it's a way to get our materials back, and it is in response to wanting people to feel comfortable and come back and use the library, but it's also a way to say, come in and use your library. Let's all start fresh.
But Library Week isn't all about exonerating delinquent patrons. It's also about appreciating the people who make libraries work and celebrating the role that libraries play in their communities.
It came out of a concern in the mid-50s by a group of people that had done some research and found that Americans were spending less on books and they were spending more on radios, television, and this makes me laugh a bit, musical instruments. And it came out of that, so they started to celebrate yearly, nationally, just a love for reading and a love for books. And in 1958, it was their first national celebration, and since then, every year, the third week in April, they celebrate National Library Week.
The Haines Library first opened in 1928 in a 12-by-12-foot building in the Alaska Steamship Office. A book checked out then, by the way, would have racked up a $7,500 fine by now if the library didn't practice a $10 cap on fines. It changed locations a few times after that, including to a house on Main Street and the current borough administration offices, before completion of the new library in 2003.
This year, the theme for National Library Week is Community Thrive at Your Library. And I like that theme, especially for Haines, because if you're in this library, you really do see that that's what happens. It's a library that is at the heart of the community.
The library has grown to receive nationwide attention, winning the Best Small Library in America Award in 2005. The card catalog and databases are now accessible from home internet. Just last month, the library saw more than 4,000 patron visits, checked out nearly 10,000 items, and provided almost 600 hours of internet to the public.
We put together all these statistics because they go into a state library report, and that state library report goes to a national committee. And that's another thing for us to mention, is that through those statistics, the Library Journal looks at all of those, and libraries are rated on circulation, patron use, meetings, and Haines Library last year was voted a 5-star library. And that's just based on our statistics. And it is because the kind of use that we get per capita.
258 libraries in the United States were rated between 3 and 5 stars last year by the Library Journal, with even fewer reaching the 5-star level that Haines got. National Library Week began Monday, then Haines Library Week will continue through the 24th.
What we are trying to do this week is really just draw attention to things in the library. So what we're in the process of doing is putting up information about each of the staff members and what their duties are, because everyone really does different things, and it takes all of those people and all of those steps to get the books out on, to make our technology work. So we're going to have a display of all of the staff. We're going to have different places where there's information up about how many patron visits we actually have, how much circulation happens, how many people use the meeting room, how many children's programs we have. So we'd like people just to come in and observe, you know, wander around and see the little bits of information that we're putting up, because that is really a testament to how much this library gets used. And to me, it says people love this library.
Skagway Library has a paleontology exhibit up right now and a poetry exhibit celebrating Poetry Month. A pie and poetry event will have pie for everyone who reads a poem at 4 p.m. on Saturday, April 17th. National Library Week celebrations include Library Workers' Day on Tuesday, April 13th.
And it's a way for people to acknowledge the folks that make the libraries work. And, you know, their theme is libraries work because we do. The one thing we didn't get planned that I would have liked to have done is just to have had coffee and tea and cookies out all week. And, you know, so maybe that could happen spontaneously. If somebody brings in the cookies, we'll put out the coffee. So if people would like to come in and, you know, thank the people they know that have worked here for 20 and 30 years, and our tech coordinator that makes sure everything keeps working so they can come in and use that internet. There are just all kinds of things that happen, and I think it's a nice way for people to let people know they're appreciated for what they do. Because it's really true. There's a lot of things that are behind the scenes that happen to make libraries work.
National Library Week is April 11th through 17th, with library fine forgiveness during business hours at the Haines Library and special activities following through the third week in April.
I think the reason this week is different, and every year something different will possibly happen, but I think the reason it is different is we know it's open 52 weeks out of the year, but what we'd like to be able to say is, let's celebrate our library. So that's what makes it different. This is a week to come in and just be appreciative of the library that we have and the services it offers and what we all do together as a community.
The Yukon River Quest, known as the longest annual canoe and kayak marathon, has extended its registration deadline in hopes to recruit more racers, especially paddlers to represent Skagway and Haines. Jeff Brady, one of the race's founders, spoke for the quest.
The board the other night decided to extend the deadline to May 1st. It pushed it back to April 15th a couple years ago, but this is not unusual. They did it a year or two ago as well when numbers weren't quite where they wanted them to be.
And that's the case this year. Brady says registration has grown every year until last year, and officials would like to see between 75 and 100 registered teams for this summer's race. There are 66 as of last Thursday, with a few more planning to sign up.
There's usually a push toward the end of 10 or more teams usually jump in right at the last minute anyway. So I think they built a budget around 75 teams, so they wanted to make sure they were guaranteed at that point by April 15th. So they thought to be safe, just extend it out to May 1st.
But what's even more curious is that there are no local teams signed up yet. Brady says the extension gives Haines and Skagway one more chance to get in the competition.
It's always, you know, people come back for the summer, not only down here, but also up in the Yukon. And so to get those teams interested and give them more time to get together, having that extra couple of weeks helps. But, you know, there's been a couple of years where we haven't had a team. This might be one. It would be great to have a Skagway or Haines team involved, and I do have a canoe for a canoe team.
The race is 460 miles of Yukon River racing from Whitehorse to Dawson City. It takes place soon after the summer solstice, with racers paddling around the clock, except for two mandatory rest stops, totaling just 10 hours.
I like to call it the premier paddling event in North America, and it was homegrown. It was started in the centennial years when Buckwheat Donahue and I put together the Staited Dawson race.
The world-class wilderness event has grown from 16 teams in 1999 and hit the upper limit of 100 a few years ago. It's been known to draw Olympians and top athletes from around the globe.
There's 8 countries represented so far. There's probably the biggest name coming this year is a fellow by the name of Martin Dreyer from South Africa. He's pretty much the king of that side of the world in terms of solo kayaking. And he'll be challenged by Carter Johnson from California, who's won this event 3 times now. So that's going to be quite the race. It's not always the best paddlers that win it. It's the ones who can just last. I mean, last year there were two really good men's canoe teams, but both of them pulled out at 3/4 of the way due to injury or sickness or something. So you never know.
Prizes are from a pot that totals tens of thousands of dollars. There's still room in the Voyager class, which takes 6 to 12 paddlers. Solo and double kayak and canoe classes also have some room left. A fundraiser is in Whitehorse on April 24th at the Gold Rush Inn with live music and a slideshow. Registration and sponsorship information and online entry forms for the 12th annual paddle race to the Midnight Sun, taking place June 30th to July 4th, are at yukonriverquest.com.
It's a great event, and hopefully we can pull a few more teams out of this area to compete in it. But I think it's the same with just about any race that's done, any big adventure race that's done up here. They don't always try and go for the elite. I mean, if you look at the road relay or the bike race or even the Yukon Quest, I mean, the races up north are built around, you know, an idea that, you know, sure, you're going to have top teams, and probably 20% of them can win it or think they can win it, but the rest of them just want to get to the finish, and that's a victory in itself.
The Haynes School students perform a pirate musical Tuesday night. Teresa Land is working with the kids, kindergartners through fifth grade, with help from a few eighth graders.
It's a wonderful storyline. There's a little boy who's a stowaway, and he wants to be a pirate. And so he stows away onto a pirate ship. And the pirates are, you know, they're baldy and they're rough. And they just think this little boy is just full of himself. And what's important to these pirates is singing. And they have singing contests. Then they discover something about this young boy who wants to be a pirate. And they discover they need him as much as he wants to be a part of them.
Land says this is the first time kindergarten through fourth grade has been on stage all at once. The free performance is Tuesday, 6:30 p.m. at the Haynes Elementary School gym.
We even have a big surprise at the beginning. Some people are going to walk the plank. Some teachers. So it'll be fun.
Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.